יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday night edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio show host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic is a good one. It's a big one. It may be the most important program we've ever done. Prepare for 2018. Donald Trump landslide win will usher in the global shaking. Well over a year ago, I told you that Donald Trump was God's man for the White House. I told you that on this program multiple times. And in over 120 different articles in the last 18 months, I have written about how very early on the Lord showed me that Donald Trump was God's choice for the White House, and not just simply to make America great again. I believe that he will do that, and that's a good thing. But this is the Bible study program. This is the prophecy program. So we're going to look at the implication of a Trump presidency from a Bible prophecy perspective. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we look at not just the amazing victory of Donald Trump, but what it will mean from a prophetic perspective when President-elect Trump keeps his promise to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. All hell is going to break loose, literally. It will be just in time for the 70th anniversary of Israel being back in the land. But first, the rapture of the church. Are you ready for what comes next? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's ask for his blessing on tonight's program. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and we thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you've gathered us here one more time, Father, that we can open up your word and open up your book, and you can speak to us, Lord. So we ask right here and now, Lord, that you do just that, and we'll give you all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're just tuning in, very, very glad that you're here tonight. As we always do on every program, we play some music, we read some scriptures, we give some praise and some testimony, and we begin to make the transition from our busy day to a state of mind where we can receive the word with gladness.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and it's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet. At the midnight cry. I see prophecies fulfilling, the signs of the time, you know they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father. The midnight cry when Jesus comes again, when Jesus steps out on the cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise.
on a plane the other day, just wishing that I could get out. When the man next to me saw the book in my hand and asked me what it was about. So I settled back in my seat, a bestseller, I said, a history and mystery in one. Then I opened up the book and began to read from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word
he was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Angels gathered round him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth, we learn that God can be a friend. And though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. And then he walked down the road and died on the cross, and that was the end of the beginning. That's a Bible, he said, and I've heard it all before. I've tried religion, it's shame and guilt, and I don't need it anymore. It's superstition, a made-up tale, just to help the weak to survive. Well, let me read it again, I said, but listen closely, this is gonna change your life. He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Gathered round him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth, we learn that God could be a friend. And though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. And then he walked down the road and died on the cross, and that was the end of the beginning. They hung him and put nails in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head. I said, I'll read it again, but this time there's more. And I believe this is true. His death wasn't the end, but the beginning of life that's completed in you. Don't you see? He did all this.
Says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, speaking about the rapture, the Bible says this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you're just tuning in, tonight's topic, it's a big one. It's a good one. Preparing for 2018, Donald Trump landslide win will usher in the global shaking. 2 weeks ago on this program, we talked in great detail about what a Donald Trump presidency would look like from a Bible perspective, not from a political perspective, not what's going to happen in Washington and what's going to happen in making America great again and bringing back jobs and bringing back prosperity. Those are things that rise and fall all the time. But what we're interested in is, are there any prophetical implications of a Donald Trump presidency? And 2 weeks ago on this program, we showed you exactly what those implications are, and we are going to be talking about that in further detail tonight. Tonight's program is plus or minus one day, is exactly a year and a half away from the 70th anniversary of the regathering of the nation of Israel. That happens in a year and a half from tomorrow. So tonight's program is exactly a year and a half away from the 70th anniversary of the regathered nation of Israel. And we're going to talk tonight about what that's going to look like and what that means. And I believe, and I'm going to be sharing this, I have shared pieces of this for the last year, year and a half now. But tonight, I am going to share with you what the Lord has laid upon my heart about what 2018 could possibly look like. And as you know, if you've been following this program for any length of time, I don't have dreams and I don't have visions from a biblical perspective. I had some wacky dreams last night about my teeth falling out, but certainly nothing that could, and my teeth are not falling out. But it was a very, very vivid dream about teeth falling out of my head. But that has nothing to do with Bible prophecy. I am not a prophet. There are no prophets in the church age. And so I'm not going to bring any of that nonsense to you. As far as I know, I'm not writing a book on the end times. I have nothing to sell to you. But I'm going to give you the complete rundown. I'm trying to choose my words carefully because people like to parse my words and come back at me and say, oh, so you think you're a prophet? No, I don't think I'm a prophet, but I know that I'm a Bible believer, and I know that we're living in just about the end times, and the Lord has given me a path forward, and for the very first time anywhere, I'm going to share with you what the Lord has, the complete overview. I'm trying very hard not to use the word vision because it will confuse some people. I don't have visions. But I'm going to share with you for the first time the complete overview of what the Lord has laid on my heart of what I believe could possibly be happening between now and May 14th of 2018, which is in a year and a half from tomorrow. So It's going to be a big program, maybe the biggest program I've ever done. And so I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you're wide awake and you're ready to really hear from the Lord tonight, because I believe he has a lot to say to us about these last days. One more song, and we're going to jump right into it. Stay with us. That's something that I would really like for the Lord to do tonight. I would like for the Lord to hear us from heaven this evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer one more time and ask for his blessing on tonight's show, and then let's get started. Heavenly Father, please be with us, help us. Lord, this vision that you've given me for what's coming, help me to share it, Lord, the right way, and help me to just to tell the people what you've told me. And open up the ears tonight, Lord. Open up the eyes. Let your word, Lord, your preserved word, go forward in spirit and in truth, Lord. And we ask all these things, Father God, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, tonight's program, if you're just tuning in, and it's funny, there are so many different factors working right now against me. From the radio show program, the software breaking down, text messages coming across my phone. It really feels like the devil does not want this show to happen. And already I can feel the frustration level just absolutely building inside me because everything is like crumbling. And I'm just trying to get this show off the ground. But we prayed and we asked the Lord for his blessing. And I believe he's going to give it to us. So, preparing for 2018, Donald Trump landslide win will usher in the global shaking. Before we talk about that, listen to this.
Donald Trump, just last week, he confirmed to the National Review that he is again considering a run in 2016.
Do it. Do it. Look at me. Do it. I will personally write you a campaign check now on behalf of this country, which does not want you to be president, but which badly wants you to run.
Donald Trump has been saying that he will run for president as a Republican, which is surprising since I just assumed he was running as a joke.
Is that people think that Donald Trump is a clown.
Donald Trump is a clown.
I mean, does anybody seriously think that Donald Trump is serious about running for president?
Donald Trump, you know, he's a clown.
But likely moderator, yeah. apparently believes that Donald Trump is a clown.
Which Republican candidate has the best chance of winning the general election?
Of the declared ones right now, Donald Trump.
President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! Exclamation point at real Donald Trump. Well, at real Donald Trump, at least I will go down as a president.
That said, basically, this is the beginning of the end for Trump.
The beginning of the end.
Beginning of the end?
This is probably starting of the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
Donald, you're not going to be able to insult your way to the presidency.
The strongest person usually isn't the loudest one in the room.
So right now we have Hillary's about 75 or an 80% favorite. We have different versions of the forecast you can look at.
Poll has Hillary Clinton up by double digits nationally, 12 points, 50 to 38, four-way race.
Clinton leading in Florida, Clinton leading in North Carolina, Clinton leading in Ohio, Clinton leading in Nevada. I could go on and on and on.
I continue to believe Mr. Trump will not be president.
And so, right now, Mr. Trump, to answer your call for political honesty, I just want to say, you're not going to be president, all right? It's been fun. It's been great. I love you. But come on, buddy.
We have a major projection right now. Donald Trump will take Ohio. Actually, and I project Donald Trump will carry the state of Florida. Huge win for Donald Trump. Donald Trump, while we project, will win in Kentucky, in Indiana, with its 11 electoral votes. West Virginia, Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi, South Carolina, Alabama, North Dakota, with its 3 electoral votes, and South Dakota, Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, the state of Montana, North Carolina, Georgia, Iowa, Utah, Wisconsin, Arizona, Kansas, with its 6 electoral votes, Nebraska with its 5 electoral votes, and Wyoming with its 3 electoral votes.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Complicated business.
A lot of people have laughed at me over the years. Now they're not laughing so much, I'll tell you.
No, now they're not laughing at all. Now they're crying. Now they're rioting in the streets. Now the entire world has been in an absolute state of shock. Donald Trump beat all 16 Republican candidates for the nomination. Donald Trump beat Hillary Clinton for the presidency. Donald Trump beat the combined weight of the Democratic Party colluding with ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, and NPR, and all of the other talk outlets, radio programs, TV stations that were supporting Hillary Clinton. In effect, Donald Trump won the biggest victory in American history. He even had to beat people within the Republican Party, George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., Jeb Bush, he had to beat George Soros. I want you, just for a moment tonight, and this is not about gloating, this is not about who won and who lost, but I played that clip because I want you to be really fully impressed with the magnitude of Donald Trump's victory. I told you 2 weeks ago, and I told you last week, that in all likelihood, unless I was very, very wrong, that Donald Trump would be the next president of the United States. And against all odds, he became president of the United States. So I want to read a couple lines from an article that I wrote a year ago called "The Real Reason Why Donald Trump Was Chosen to Be the Republican Candidate for President." And I wrote this in the article. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding." That's Daniel 2, verses 20 and 21 in your King James Bible. The Bible says that God sets up kings. So, 8 years ago, when we started Now the End Begins, and we talked about Barack Obama, I wrote over 1,300 articles in the last 8 years exposing Barack Obama. And I have said, and I still believe to this day, that Barack Obama, God's judgment on America. And I believe that because America no longer wanted God and wanted prayer and wanted the Bible and wanted the Ten Commandments and wanted abortion and all these things, I believe that God gave this country the type of king that we deserved, and that king was Barack Obama. I believe that Donald Trump is going to be used by God to shake the world. And already, just the mere fact that he's won this victory, he has already started to shake the world. And again, I want to really stress with you that this is not about Republican. If you're a liberal, if you're a Democrat, this is not rubbing your nose in your loss. I'm trying to say that this program tonight is not really about politics. It's not about red versus blue. It's about God's choice for a very specific reason. Now, what reason would that be? Why would God choose a man like Donald Trump? what possible reason would the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob want with a man like Donald Trump? Well, maybe something like this.
We will move the American embassy to the eternal capital of the Jewish people, Jerusalem. And we will send a clear signal that there is no daylight between America and our most reliable ally, the State of Israel.
Now, do you want to know why God's choice for the presidency was Donald Trump? The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12, and just turn there for a moment, God is talking with Abraham. Starting in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and away from thy kindred. Abram was raised in a society of idol worshipers. Abraham came from across the river Eber in the nation of Iraq. That's where Abram came from. And so here we have in Genesis 12, God is talking to Abram. He's not Abraham yet, but he's Abram. And God tells Abram, get out of your country. You're living in the wrong country. Get away from your family, your kindred. You have the wrong family. And get away from thy father's house. You're living in the wrong house. And unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now we know that Abraham and Sarah gave birth to Isaac, and Rebekah and Leah and that whole crew gave birth to Jacob, and Jacob and his wife gave birth to the 12 tribes of Israel. Abram would become the father of the Jewish nation. Jacob's name in Genesis 34, after he wrestled with an angel of the Lord all night long, his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. His grandfather was Abraham. Abraham, when God is talking to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, he is saying, I am going to make you the father of a huge, great nation. That nation would be the nation of Israel. And in verse 3 of Genesis 12, we read about the blessing and the cursing. God says to Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God gave a blessing to anyone who would bless the Jewish people and anyone who would bless the nation of Israel. This cuts across all denominations. This cuts across all time periods. And from this moment on, God is saying that if you were for my people, I will bless you. And if you are against my people, I will curse you. Donald Trump was the only candidate. Now, you have to remember that there was Johnson, there was Stein, there was one other person that was in the Democrat Party who was running. There was Bernie Sanders, and then there was Hillary Clinton. There was the 16 other people that Donald Trump ran against. And that's about 25 different people. And out of all those people, the only person that said specifically, I will recognize Jerusalem as the eternal capital of Israel, and I will move the embassy of the United States to Jerusalem. Now, Donald Trump said that almost a year ago. And when I heard him say that, the Lord tapped me on the shoulder. Mark has a question. How can we be for people that are the LGBT mecca of the world? Excellent question, Mark. Mark is referencing the fact that in 2016, Tel Aviv, Israel, is the LGBT capital of the world. And Mark is saying, how can we bless people that allow that to happen within their own borders? Because obviously, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for LGBT behavior and activity and lifestyle. But the answer, Mark, is very simple. God made an eternal covenant with Abraham. God said, and this is unconditional, God said that if you want to be blessed, well, actually, this is the conditional part, but if you want to be blessed, you bless the Jewish people. If you want to be cursed, you curse the Jewish people. Now, Israel has been back in the land for nearly 70 years. It's 68 and one half years tomorrow that they have been back in the land officially. They have been regathered physically. They have not been regathered spiritually. They are so lost spiritually that after the rapture, they are going to follow Antichrist for 3.5 years. That's how spiritually blind the Jewish people are right now. But believe me when I tell you, their spiritual blindness does not relieve the Genesis 12:3 blessing and cursing. And let me just show you a section from the book of Romans that will really give you a crystal clear idea of the current state of the Jewish people and what our reaction should be. Turn to the book of Romans and let's look in Romans chapter 11. Turn in your King James Bible to Romans chapter 11. I'm very glad that Mark asked this question because it's a great question. And we're going to start in verse 7 of Romans 11. Paul is talking. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. As it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Now, you have all read these verses. In Acts chapter 7, when the Jewish people stoned Stephen, the kingdom age came to a close and the church age started. The church age did not start in Acts chapter 2. Because when, turn to Acts chapter 1 for a moment, and I want to show you something. Now, we figure the start of the church back to the day of Pentecost because that's the day that the Holy Spirit was poured out. But that's not the day that the church, the Gentile church, was started. If you look in Acts chapter 1 and they're talking to the risen Jesus Christ, starting in verse 4, Acts chapter 1 verse 4, we read this. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they were come together, they asked of him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? This is the group of people that are assembled together on the day of Pentecost. They are 100% Jewish. They are all in Jerusalem. They're all in Israel. There's no Gentiles of any kind till the kingdom age. They are not looking for a bridegroom. They are waiting for a king to come and give them a kingdom. They're waiting for the national kingdom to be restored to Israel. Well, they had that chance in Acts chapter 7, and they blew it. They killed Stephen, and what happened? Acts chapter 8, the first Gentile was saved. Acts chapter 9, Saul became Paul, and Peter goes into the background, and Paul becomes the leader of the Christian church. Everything that happened from Acts chapter 2 gets rolled in to this new Jewish Gentile church, and now you have the church age. So I said all that to say this. Mark's question was, how can we be for people who are against God and the Bible? Because you know better and they don't. You know what the end of the story is going to be. You know that the Jewish people are going to be driven into the wilderness. You know that they're going to hide out in the Red Rock city of Sela Petra. You know that they're going to worship Antichrist in that new third temple that they're building. There's not one Jewish person on the face of the earth who has not become born again that knows any of those things. They have no idea that those things are going to happen to them. So how can we bless people like that? Because guess what? They are still God's chosen people. Israel, Tel Aviv, the LGBT capital of the world, is still God's chosen land. You know what the book of Revelation says? The book of Revelation says that it's going to get so bad that God himself in Revelation 11:18 says this, talking about the two witnesses, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. What's the great city? The great city is Jerusalem. God himself refers to the capital city of his own land as Sodom and Egypt. Now, that was rather a long answer to a very simple question, but it was a simple, complex question. We are to bless the Jewish people because even in their lost condition, they are still God's chosen people. We are to bless the nation of Israel because even though they are doing the wrong thing, we know what the end of the story is going to be. Now, let me ask you one more question before I get off this topic, because this is a very important topic. Now, obviously, I am not for gambling. I don't gamble. I don't bet. I don't go to the racetrack. I don't go to the casinos. But let me ask you a question. when they play the Super Bowl in February, if you knew for an absolute fact that you knew who was going to win the Super Bowl, wouldn't you be really tempted to try to gather up as much money as you get your hands on, $1,000, $5,000, $20,000? And wouldn't you be so tempted to bet everything that you could put on the Super Bowl because you knew down to the last play of the game who was going to win? And wouldn't that be so cool that you could have like 100-to-1 odds and you could bet $20,000 and make millions because you know how the game ends? Well, the Bible's even more than that. The Bible tells you how the world ends. The Bible tells you who wins the battle of Armageddon after the rapture. The Bible tells you exactly how the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ is set up. The Bible tells you who wins the battle of Gog and Magog. The Bible shows you Jesus stomping his enemies from one end of the earth to the other. We know how the game ends. We know who the winners are, and we know who the losers are. And because we know that in the end, God wins, the devil loses. The Jewish people win. The Jewish people receive Israel for eternity. Don't you want to be on the winning side now? You know what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews? It says in chapter, I think it's 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who cometh to God must believe that he is and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I know that it takes faith to look at the nation of Israel and try to imagine the day when they're all worshiping the God of the Bible, where they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, the entire nation. But that day is coming. I guarantee you that day is coming. So, if you want God's Genesis 12:3 blessing, why don't you bless the Jewish people now? Bless the nation of Israel now. Don't wait till they win. Anybody can jump on the... Look, I just played that clip for you of all those dozens of people mocking the idea of a Trump presidency. Do you know how many of those Democrats and liberals right now are kissing Trump's butt and saying, oh, that was a hard-fought victory and blah, blah, blah? Why? Because they like Donald Trump? No. They're doing it because they want to be on the winning side, because that's where the benefits are. That's where the money is. Nobody wants to be on the losing side. Now, if you go against the Jewish people, even in their lost condition, you're going to be on the losing side. If you go against Israel, even with Tel Aviv as the LGBT capital of the world, if you go against Israel, you're going to be on the losing side. I hope, Mark, that that answered your question. We're going to take a very, very short 2.5-minute break. And when we come back, we are going to continue. And I really want to share with you what God has laid on my heart about the things that in all likelihood will be happening between now and 2018. And there's not a lot of people talking about this now. There's some, but there's not a lot. When I first started talking about this 1.5 years ago, I didn't know anybody else who was thinking along the same direction that I was thinking. The Lord gave it to me very, very, very early. And in fact, so early, and I'm going to share a funny story when we get back, But he gave it to me so early that huge quantities of Christians began to turn against me. And we're going to talk about that too. So stay with us. We'll be right back in 3 minutes and 40 seconds. Just tuning in, tonight's topic is prepare for 2018. Donald Trump landslide win will usher in the global shaking. All right, right before the break, I was talking to you about the importance of standing behind Israel and the importance of standing behind the Jewish people. They are still God's chosen people. And Israel is still God's chosen land. And if you want a blessing, bless them. If you want God to be against you, then go against his people. But history is filled with examples of people who thought they could go against the Jewish people and succeed, and none of them have succeeded. So, Donald Trump, 2018, the global shaking, what is the importance of talking about 2018? Well, 2 weeks ago we did a program and I told you that on May 14th, 2018, the nation of Israel is going to have been regathered back in the land for 70 years. Now, turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of Daniel, chapter 9, please. Daniel, chapter 9 in the Old Testament. Starting in verse 1, Daniel 9, 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now, it's an amazing thing. We're all the way in Daniel chapter 9. And Daniel opens up the scroll of Jeremiah. He calls it the books of Jeremiah. He opens up Jeremiah's scroll. And what does he read? Well, turn to Jeremiah chapter 29 if you want to read what Daniel saw. Jeremiah 29, verse 1. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. So here we have Jeremiah talking about the captivity of Israel. And if you look down in verse 10 of Jeremiah 29, we read this: For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Here we have the prophet Jeremiah giving the prophecy of the 70 years of captivity for the nation of Israel. Now, what's interesting, it's very interesting that Daniel found this prophecy. But it's even more interesting that in the very next chapter of Jeremiah, after the 70 years of Israel are fulfilled, look what we read in chapter 30, and let's start in verse 1. Jeremiah 30, verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and Judah, concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling and of fear and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Jeremiah is looking at the time of the great tribulation, but he doesn't call it the great tribulation. What does he call it? Look at verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. That's what the Bible calls the great tribulation. the time of Jacob's trouble. When, now I want you to follow this now. When does the time of Jacob's trouble happen in the book of Jeremiah? It happens after the 70 years of Israel's captivity in Babylon is completed. You turn the page, and what do you see? You see the time of Jacob's trouble happening right on the heels of that 70-year period. In a year and a half from tomorrow, the nation of Israel is going to be 70 years old in their regathered condition. 70 years old. And it's starting to look more and more like God is getting ready to do something very big, either immediately preceding the 70 years or immediately after the anniversary of the 70 years. Because that's exactly what happens in Jeremiah. Now, turn to Matthew 24 for a moment. And I really want to just take a moment with this so that you can see how this whole thread works. Matthew 24, starting in verse 11. Matthew 24, verse 11. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, the same gospel that was being preached in Acts chapter 1 and 2, this gospel of the kingdom, remember in Acts chapter 1, we read that verse, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And in Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. The end of what? Not the end of the world, the end of the time of Jacob's trouble. Very next verse, Matthew 24:15, you see the paragraph marker. It's a new thought. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. This is the halfway point of the tribulation. Turn back to Daniel chapter 9. What was Jesus trying to get your attention to look at? He was trying to get you to look at Daniel 9:27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, halfway through, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. That means the temple has to be rebuilt. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, and even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now, I know that I'm throwing a lot of scripture at you, but I want you to see exactly where all this is leading. Jesus puts his seal on Daniel and says, if you want to know about the time of Jacob's trouble, go read Daniel. So you go all the way back to Daniel chapter 9, and what do you see Daniel doing? He's reading Jeremiah. So we go all the way back to Jeremiah, and what do we see? Jeremiah is talking about the end of a 70-year period, after which he gives the prophecy for the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, at the very beginning of this show, I took great pains to say, I am not a prophet. I have had no dreams. I've had no visions. I've had no wonders. I'm not a charismatic. I'm not speaking in tongues. I'm not writing a book. Okay? But starting to look to me more and more like something really, really big is going to happen in a year and a half from tomorrow. I believe that somewhere around the 70th anniversary of the regathered nation of Israel, I believe somewhere in all that, a year and a half from tomorrow, you are going to see events that will lead into the beginning of the time of Jacob's trouble. And if that's the case, could I be wrong? Absolutely. But if I'm not wrong, and if Jeremiah's pattern of talking about Israel being in captivity for 70 years, now, how does that correlate with the regathered nation of Israel? Well, don't you know that Israel has been in captivity for the past 70 years? Do you think that Israel has been ruling themselves for the past 70 years? No. The regathered nation of Israel, they're not even allowed, Jews are not even allowed to worship on the mount of their own temple. And why? Because they don't really own the land that they have. For the past seven, even when they try to build new houses and building projects, the United Nations steps in, and liberal and Democrat forces within the United States government steps in, and other nations of the world like Germany and France and Spain and England, they step in. And they condemn, they call them settlements, and they condemn Israel building on their own land. Do you think Israel has been a free nation in their regathered period? No, they're not free. Jews can't worship on the Temple Mount. Jordan has control of Jerusalem and the Old City and the Dome of the Rock and the Temple Mount. Israel can't even build houses in their own land without a condemnation from the United Nations. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? Israel is in captivity right now. Israel is now, just like when they were in Roman captivity, just like when they were in Babylonian captivity, they could still do certain things. Israel functions. They call themselves the sovereign nation of Israel. But you know what? They're not. They don't have control over their own destiny. Whenever they try and do something, they have to go before the United Nations to defend why they're doing it. Because they're not free. Israel has been regathered since, officially, since May 14th, 1948. And every single day of that 68 and a half years, they have been in Gentile captivity. Jeremiah says, at the end of the 70 years of their captivity, God will visit them. And then we turn Jeremiah's scroll one page. And what does Jeremiah say that visit has to do with? It has to do with the time of Jacob's trouble. Could it be possible that in a year and a half from now, that the time of Jacob's trouble is going to commence? And if it does, that means the rapture has to happen before the time of Jacob's trouble. Whose trouble is it? Is it the church's trouble? No. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. When you read the book of Acts, you do not see the Gentile church and the Jewish Kingdom Age church mixing together. One door closes, the other door opens. They do not coexist at the same time. It didn't happen in the early first century of the church, and 2,000 years later, it's not going to happen in our time period. A post-tribulation rapture of the church is an absolute impossibility. It cannot happen. The church cannot be. Now, people will say, well, the church will go through the tribulation, but they won't see the judgments fall. God will remove them halfway through. Halfway through what? Halfway through the time of Jacob's trouble? No. Pre-wrath rapture is ridiculous. A mid-tribulation rapture is impossible. It cannot happen. The only way that you can have a pre-wrath rapture or a mid-trib rapture is you have to put the church in a time of Jacob's trouble. And when you do that, you are now guilty of replacement theology. And why? Because the time of Jacob's trouble is a promise to the nation of Israel. And if Jeanette could please just type what I just said. And I want this thought to sink down into your head. The time of Jacob's trouble is a promise to the Jewish people. It's a negative promise, but it is a promise nonetheless. Christian Gentile church, made up of Jews and Gentiles, but mostly Gentile. For every one Jew in the church right now, you have 1,000 Gentiles. The number of Jewish people worldwide who are born again believers are very, very small. The Jewish Gentile church is probably about 95% Gentile, maybe even 98% Gentile. Whenever I come across somebody who's Jewish and they're a born-again Christian, it always, like, it's like I'm meeting that for the first time. It always shocks me. It always surprises me because you see so few of those people. Dr. Bob is saying he's outnumbered. And you know what? He's right. He is outnumbered. So let me tell you a conversation that I had with a friend of mine on Election Day morning. I woke up on November 8th, Tuesday morning, and I started to think about the position that I had taken in the last year and a half when I have been talking about Donald Trump fulfilling Bible prophecy. All of a sudden, a very sickening feeling came across me. And I turned to my friend and I said, if I'm wrong, because if Donald Trump's not president, the embassy doesn't move to Jerusalem. And the entire case that I've built in the last year and a half would be completely and utterly destroyed if Donald Trump didn't win. And for the very first time in well over a year, I sat on my patio with a cup of coffee in my hands, and I began to doubt that Donald Trump would win the presidency. And I began to think about what being that wrong would mean for somebody who runs a Bible prophecy website. Because if I was wrong about that, then I couldn't trust myself. Look, I'm very hard on other people when they make claims that don't materialize. And I'm a firm believer, you can make any claim that you want to make. But if you make some big claims and they don't happen, there's this guy who is always posting on the NTEB Facebook page, and his name is Steve something or other. Steven, one of you guys in the chat room, I have to help me out with this guy's last name. His name is Steve, and he's always making these prophecies. He's always saying, well, look at what just happened. It's the sixth seal of Revelation, and, you know, the third horse of the apocalypse is, you know, marching. And he has been wrong 10 out of 10 times. And last year he said to me, he said, look, I know that I've been wrong, but just listen to me one more time, and if I'm wrong, you can call me a false prophet. And, of course, he was wrong that time and every time after that. And now nobody pays attention to him. I haven't seen him in a long time. But he was he was like a Jehovah's Witness. He was 100% wrong 100% of the time. Now, he's not a false prophet, really, because there are no prophets today, but he certainly was somebody who did not have an inside track on truthful Bible interpretations of end times prophecy. So as I sat on my patio on Tuesday morning with now this sinking feeling in my gut that if Donald Trump didn't win, it would mean that my entire year and a half long campaign would have all been wrong. And I thought if that would have happened, then maybe I would have to give up the radio show. I could still teach Bible doctrine. That doesn't change doctrines like eternal security and all that stuff. But in terms of having a voice in prophecy, if my main case was wrong, I kind of would have to quit. But I said, Lord, I believe that this thing, and again, I don't want to use the word vision, because if I use the word vision, some of you guys are going to go tweeting that, oh, I think I'm having visions, and I'm not. I don't have any visions. But this roadmap that the Lord has shown me, I believe with all my heart it's going to come true. And I started to watch the election returns, and about 8:45 on that Tuesday night, Hillary was winning. She was winning in Florida, Pennsylvania, California, Texas. And again, I got that sinking feeling in my gut. But I believe that what the Lord gave me was true. And so I just began to rest in what he had told me. And by about 9:20, 9:30, 9:40, the tide began to turn very, very quickly and very strongly. By 11 o'clock, the Democrats were having conniption fits. By 2 o'clock in the morning, it was all done. Today, right before this show started, I received word that Michigan has gone for Donald Trump. He has ended the election with 306 electoral votes to her 232. That is an absolute 30% landslide victory. Donald Trump didn't just win. Popular vote means nothing. We don't elect candidates by popular vote. We elect them by electoral votes. Now, I believe that's a system that should change, but that's a thought for another day. So, look, what I'm telling you is when Donald Trump won on Tuesday night, it validated to me everything that I have been saying for the last year and a half. Donald Trump is going to move the embassy from Jerusalem, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and in so doing, he is going to trigger the Psalm 83 war. Now, Jeanette's just telling me the final tally is Trump 306 to Hillary 202. That is a 33% victory. That is, he crushed her. He absolutely crushed her. Now, I told you 2 weeks ago that that was going to happen. I doubted myself briefly on Election Day, but in the aftermath, I am more convinced than ever that within a year and a half from tomorrow, it is quite possible that we could see the rapture of the church sometime between tomorrow and a year and a half from tomorrow. Now, I want you to think about that. We're going to take a quick break. I want you to think about that. Am I calling the rapture? Yes and no. Am I predicting a date for the rapture? No, I am not. But it's something that I want you all to think about because it looks to me like it's a very real possibility. Stay with us. We still have another half hour to go. Don't go anywhere.
Once I wandered in sin's black night, there was no way to make the Lord did cry. He is a sinner, and now he must die. Then I heard a voice say, Father, I'll go, and I'll pay his sin debt in Calvary's soul. I'll wear in my body the mark. To the depths of the sea.
brings victory to me.
Now, I don't know about you, but I find it awfully coincidental that two times in your King James Bible, the word Trump appears in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The second place that the word trump appears in the Bible is in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. All right? There are two places in the Bible where the word trump appears. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it very, very suspicious that both places it appears in connection with the rapture of the church. Now, what is a trump? A trump, in the context, is the sound that a trumpet makes. It is not the trumpet itself. The trump is the sound that the trumpet makes when the trumpet is blown. And Paul, in Corinthians and Thessalonians, he is saying that there is going to be the sound of a trumpet. It is not a trumpet itself being played. It is the voice of God. And that is going to bring about the rapture of the church. I don't believe that there is anything that we can do on this earth that would bring the rapture about faster. The rapture has nothing to do with the gospel going out into all the world, and then the end shall come. That is the time of Jacob's trouble. That verse in Matthew 24, where it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness in all the world, and then the end shall come." The end of what? The end of the time of Jacob's trouble. There is no factor, that we can do that will usher in the rapture. The removal of the church happens when God is ready to start the time of Jacob's trouble. And all those verses that people try to put on the church age belong in the tribulation age. They belong in the kingdom age. We are not bringing in the kingdom. How many times have you heard somebody use that expression? We're adding people to the kingdom. We're working to bring in the kingdom. We are not working to bring in the kingdom. And how do I know that? Turn to Revelation chapter 19. I'll show you when the kingdom is brought in. You want to see when the kingdom is brought in? Turn to Revelation 19, starting in verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. John is talking, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the day that the kingdom is brought in. You will notice the Church of Jesus Christ is standing beside him in heaven, getting ready to mount up on white horses and follow him down through the universe. So, the kingdom that is brought in through preaching is the kingdom that comes in at the end of the time of Jacob's trouble. That is not the church age. The Great Commission, that's not the church age. I like to use some of those verses inspirationally and devotionally. Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. I use that verse for our street preaching ministry, but I don't use it doctrinally. I use it devotionally. I use it inspirationally. Why? Because we're street preachers and we go out into the highways and byways and hedges and we compel them to come in. But that verse from Luke 14:23, that is a kingdom verse. Mark has a question on Psalm 118. And for those of you who are new to the program, if you have a question, put it into the chat room and I'll do my best to answer your question as I'm able to. Mark says Psalm 18:23, is that talking about the day of the Lord? Well, let's see what it is. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Verse 24, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. So, what is being talked about here? What is being talked about is the day of the Lord. Now, we use that verse inspirationally, that we woke up today, we're alive today, God gave us another day of life, and we're going to rejoice in that day of life. But the day that the world and the people of God will rejoice in will be the day of the Lord. And the people who were unsaved, it's going to be a horrible, horrible, horrible day. It's going to be a bad day for the unsaved. Turn to Amos 5:18. Amos 5:18. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? For the day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? The day of the Lord is going to be a bad, bad time. And that's why the church is not going to be on earth for even one day of the time of Jacob's trouble, because it's a promise to Israel. It's a promise to the nation. It's a negative promise, but it's a promise to the nation of Israel. And if you teach that the church goes through the tribulation, now you're not going to want to hear this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If you teach that the church goes through the time of Jacob's trouble, you are teaching replacement theology, and it's a heresy. The church can't be in one single day of the time of Jacob's trouble. All right, we have 15 minutes left. Let me see if I can wrap this up for you. Tomorrow, November 14th, 2016, is going to be exactly 1.5 years away from the 70th anniversary of the regathered nation of Israel. Jeremiah gives a prophecy of the 70 years of Babylonian captivity, where Israel is ruled over by the Babylonian nations. In our day, Israel has been ruled over by modern-day Babylon for the past 68 and a half years. At the end of the 70 years of Israel being regathered, is it possible that God could bring about the beginning of the time of Jacob's trouble? I say to you very boldly and very candidly, yes. I believe that it is not only possible, I believe it is probable. Someone named Hope in My Heart says, stop the predictions. Why? I'm not calling a certain day. I am calling your attention to the fact that prophecy is about to start being fulfilled. Do you think, now, I played that clip for you at the start of the program. Donald Trump's victory is a miracle. Donald Trump's victory is not because he had a good message and not because he had a good team or he ran a good campaign. Donald Trump prevailed against all odds. In the 240 years of American history, there has never been higher odds. Now, somebody is asking, is Babylon the United States? No. Babylon is not the United States. I am likening modern-day Israel taking their orders from the world to their Babylonian captivity in the Old Testament. Babylon in Revelation 17 and 18 are talking about the Vatican Roman Catholic system. The Catholic Church is Babylon, the mother of harlots. So, no, I am not saying the United States is – the United States doesn't rule over Israel, but the United Nations does rule over Israel. Now, as far as the likelihood of what I'm telling you coming true, we're just going to have to wait and see. But I just want you to understand that what has happened so far is a miracle. You do realize that. Everything that has led Donald Trump to this very momentous time, and Hope in My Heart, you did not offend me. I'm not offended. I am simply, you are new to this program. I think if you keep coming around every Sunday, you'll kind of get the idea of what we're talking about here. We are Bible believers. We should be looking for the rapture. The Bible says this in Titus 2:13, that we are looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Why would you not want to look for the rapture? I look for the rapture every single day of my life. Even when I'm having a bad day, even when I'm out of the will of God, when I lay my head on the pillow that night, I'm still saying, even so, come Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible commands us to be looking for the blessed hope every single day. And I believe, now, this is my own personal opinion, but I believe we are very, very close to the blessed hope. I believe that when Donald Trump moves the embassy, it is going to trigger a war in the Middle East. Do you know what happened when Israel became a nation? They had to fight the Six-Day War, where five Muslim nations attack them all at the same time, and tiny little Israel beat them anyway. How is that possible? Have you ever stopped to think about that? Do you know what a miracle that it is that Israel did not lose the Six-Day War? That was a bona fide miracle in our time. The regathered nation of Israel is a miracle in our time. And no, there is no post-tribulation rapture of the church. It's not going to happen. It's impossible. It cannot happen. The Bible says very clearly that the church is going to be removed before the time of Jacob's trouble. So I am setting a timeline this evening. I am not predicting a day or a date. I'm not even predicting a month. I'm not Harold Camping. I'm not Rosenblum with his pre-wrath rapture. I don't have a prediction for you. But I have a timeline for you. And I believe that in the next 18 months, starting tomorrow, I believe we are going to see miracles taking place. Not phony charismatic miracles of healing lines where nobody really gets healed and the only thing that happens is that the people preaching make millions of dollars. Those aren't the type of miracles that I'm talking about. But I am talking about a miracle like the regathering of the nation of Israel, a miracle like Israel winning the Six-Day War. A miracle like the only person who said that they'll move the embassy to Jerusalem and he beats everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump winning the election borders very, very closely on a biblical miracle. And I want you to be ready for what's coming in the next year and a half. Now, let me tell you something. Hope in my heart is telling me that I'm wrong. And I'm assuming that that's a she, because that sounds like a female chat room name. But let's just say that I'm wrong. Katie Green Galvano says, I hope that Donald Trump doesn't bail on his promise. Well, you know what, Katie? It's possible. Donald Trump might bail on his promise. I don't think he will. But is it possible? Sure, it's possible. Is it possible that none of what I say will come to pass? Yes, that's possible. I'm giving you my opinion tonight. But I want you to know that it's an opinion based on very studious searching out of the scriptures. And I believe that if you, in your own private Bible study time, will study Matthew 24, Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 12, Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah 30, and Zechariah 12 through 14, if you will study those sections of the Bible very heavily between tonight and next Sunday, you will see that what I'm talking about has merit. And not only some merit, a lot of merit. And so in the coming weeks, I'm going to be laying out my plan for how I'm going to live my life in the next 18 months. This is not I'm not trying to start a movement. I don't expect anyone to follow me. But I have become convinced that there is a very high likelihood that the time of Jacob's trouble will begin somewhere around the 70th anniversary of the regathered nation of Israel. And for as long as you will allow me to do so, I will share those thoughts with you. But I am absolutely going to be making some serious life changes. Because look, if it's possible that the rapture could take place in the next 18 months, how differently would you live your life? And that's what I'm going to challenge you to do over the next couple of weeks. And I'm going to share with you what the Lord will be putting on my heart and the changes that I'm going to be making. And again, I'm not starting a movement. I'm not even calling anyone to follow me. I am just simply saying this election has convinced me that God is getting ready to shake the nations of the world. And I can almost guarantee you that Trump is going to move that embassy sometime between tomorrow and May 14th, 2018. I can almost guarantee it. So we've come to the end of our program for this evening. I want to thank you for tuning in, as always. And I want you to keep looking up. The Bible says in Titus 2:13, we are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Thank you very, very much for tuning in tonight. I hope this program was a blessing to you. I hope it's motivating you in some way, and I hope it challenged you in some way. I would love for you guys to search those passages that we talked about tonight and show me where what I said is not true. Maybe you've been studying the Bible for a really long time. Great. Then study those passages that I just gave you. Study those books that I talked about tonight and show me the holes in what I'm talking about. My mind is still open. But I believe with all my heart that we are getting ready to see God intervene himself prophetically in a very, very real, visible, tangible, and profound way. Thank you, everyone, and good night.